This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A happy Wednesday to you, Doug. How's everything?
Everything's good, except that was a dud of a weekend, man.
It was.
It just lets you know that besides the money that is going to the owners and the players, seventh seeds just aren't really qualified to be in the playoffs.
But here's the question. Somebody who we work with, Greg Finley, who's the overnight producer on the AM station, mentioned something similar yesterday. And I said to him, you know, we had essentially 3 one-score games last year in the wild card round when we had 7 teams on each side. We had 2 one-score games this past weekend. I don't know if that's necessarily a throw the baby out with the bathwater deal where you go, well, 7 seeds are just too many. I just think sometimes you're going to get blowouts, even in the playoffs. Even in the Super Bowl, we get blowouts sometimes.
Right. But I think what we need to do is get a bigger, I guess, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say when you have more opportunities to see if the 7th seed. So 5 years from now, we'll be able to really decide.
Bigger sample
size. Yeah, bigger sample size.
That's it. Bigger sample size. Then we'll be able to see, all right, are these 7th seeds really? Now, what it will do is it keeps the last 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season more intrigue in that. But I'm skeptical about 7th seeds.
I want to get right to the heart of something that in coaching cycles and in hiring cycles always comes and rises to the top. And you see it with what happened with David Culley. And now people are pointing to Mike Tomlin as sort of a champion for this. I want to ask you, somebody who's been in the front office, and this is kind of a weighty question and a big one here. If you're the owner of a team or the president of a team and you're hiring a coach or a general manager, what incentive do presidents or owners of teams have to not hire the best guy, whether he is black, white, blue, Chinese, a woman, whatever? It is such a... It's a business that's built on winning, right? You get more if you win in the NFL. You want to sustain success. So if I look at a candidate and I look at somebody and they're an African-American, they're a black guy, or I look at somebody and they're a white guy, and I say, does it not just always boil down to who can help me win the most games? You're in a very unique position to answer this question, Doug, and that's why I wanted to ask you.
In a perfect world, absolutely. That's what you got to love about sports, because it is – black and white, and I mean black and white in wins and losses. And again, that's the perfect world. The biggest issue with the NFL, and I was around it for 20 plus years, especially it's getting worse and worse, people don't hire the best person for the job. They hire the person they know the best. They want to feel comfortable, because there's so many extra things that go into this job between the media scrutiny, the amount of money that's involved, the pressure, and then guys that people trying to climb the ladder in unscrupulous ways and not on their merit and how good they are. They're doing backstabbing and stuff. So people like to insulate themselves with people they feel comfortable and they trust.
Do you think, coaches
right now, trust is bigger than ability when they're hiring.
Do you think coaches still get passed up for jobs because they're black?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And I say it this way. It's one of those things where you hear a lot of owners or decision makers saying, well, I just feel comfortable with this guy. Well, there's a lot of things you can do, the NFL can do, to make owners and put them in settings where they can get comfortable with people that they're usually not hanging out with. So you have marquee events like the Combine, the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the owners meetings. That's where you should have a whole host of up-and-coming potential head coach candidates sit down with owners in a non-interview setting and just sit down and break bread with them and just talk about philosophies, about ball, how they would construct a team, different situations. So, and then I would say do it with teams that don't need head coaches. So when they start going out and they do need head coaches, they have a background. Or when another team needs a head coach, the owners get on the phone. Hey, you talk to this guy. What do you think? And that's how you can break down that barrier of not feeling comfortable. Because a lot of these billionaires aren't going to hang out with head coaches until they hire him.
So in your opinion, is the Rooney Rule doing what it was established to do? Is it getting minority candidates in those situations? In an interview, for example, where maybe they wouldn't have been years ago? Or is it just another box to check?
It's a box to check, and it's helping guys learn how to interview, but it's not helping them get jobs, obviously. So the intent of the rule was there, but just like any rule or any law, think about tax codes. There's going to be ways where you can skate around these tax codes and these tax laws. These rules, people are going to save face and say they do it, but it's not really what it's intending to do right now.
That thing you describe, I mean, it's so simple.
It is.
And why isn't it done? Because, I mean, and maybe describe what it's like at those owners' meetings and where people go off in cliques or guys that they know, and how is there, how come what you're suggesting isn't done? Because it seems like it'd be so easy to do.
I don't know. I mean, I know this much. Troy Vincent's been at the league office, and he's racking his brain and trying to figure out ways to increase minority hiring. And again, like you said, when you go into these owners' meetings, it's natural. It's just like when you're in high school. You're always going to go to the people you hang out with. And when you go to your reunion, you're going to say hi to everybody, but you're going to end up hanging out with the guys you hung out with or people you hung out with.
Yep.
And that happens at the owners' meetings. So you have to find a way to break that cycle. And I've said this on the air plenty of times. I've talked to Troy, and they're thinking about trying to institute something like this. But I think that's the easiest way, to find somebody that you have a connection with outside of that pressure pact of an interview. Because when you're on an interview, everybody's shoulders are up and clenched tight, and they're sitting there. They're not who they are when you're going to – because you're going to spend an extraordinary amount of time with that owner and with that GM and with that president in pressure-packed situations. And you got to be able to sit there and have those hard conversations and saying, hey, either the coaching is bad or the personnel is bad or we don't have the cap space or owner, you're not giving us the money. You got to be able to sit there and talk to somebody like that directly without someone getting their feelings hurt. Mm-hmm. But unless you have that connection and that common ground of saying, we're in this together, and it's not me attacking you, it's everybody getting called out for not pulling their weight because we're trying to accomplish one goal. And that's where some guys have different agendas. And when you have people with different agendas and it's not the same, and that's why the Steelers was so great to me, and that's one of the things that may have been a detriment. I just assumed everybody was out for to win championships.
Well, that's my naivety. That's my naivety in all this, too, is that if you're the Dallas Cowboys in this last cycle and you sit there and you go, okay, and Jerry Jones, I don't know if he's a good or a bad example or whatever, but maybe I'm naive that I'm put myself in that president's shoes and I have all these underlings or the owner of the team's shoes and all these underlings, and I bring in McCarthy and I bring in Marvin Lewis both. And I just simply say, all right, guys, let's cut through the BS, not to them, but to the people making the hire with me. Who's going to win more football games for us? I'm naive,
but
I guess.
You are naive, and I was too, because what happens is that president starts getting protection. Like, all right, who's going to be that guy that can save face, but if he falls, it doesn't point to me? So that's where you start getting some of those. And it's not there at the Steelers. And that's one of those things. That's why it's such a unique organization. Everybody there has one goal. Do the best you can at the job you have to help us win a Super Bowl. And that's not the case in other places. And I've been other places. And I'll tell you that right now.
So, I mean, from my perspective, Doug, it's always seemed to be that, look, I just pulled up the list of owners or chairmen, chair people of NFL franchises. And there's, I think, one minority amongst the bunch, and it's Shad Khan.
Yeah.
Until you have, I mean, this is just my opinion. You tell me what you think. My opinion is, until you have a principal minority owner who is comfortable with someone also a minority, being in the ultimate seat of power, you're going to have, and a lot of people, it's not, you know, latent racism. No. It's that sort of passive racism that they don't even realize that they're actively participating in when they say, well, if I sit down with Marvin Lewis and Mike McCarthy across from me, it has nothing to do with the color of the guy's skin. I just think McCarthy's better for the job, you know.
Right, right. And you hit it perfectly. You said it perfectly. Until you've changed the color of ownership, you're going to have a harder time to change the color of GMs and head coaches, those people in those power positions, even presidents. Look, we only have one minority president, Jason Wright at the Washington Football Club. So, but I also say this. It's hard to tell someone how to spend their money. Colin, if I told you, you have to do this with your money, you're going to be like, wait a minute. You don't get up at 3 in the morning and drive in here and get on the radio and talk for 4 hours.
But I'm different. Like, I'd spend my money to simply find the person that would try to help me win the most football games. And I 1,000% mean that. Whether it was Jim Caldwell, whether it was Mike McCarthy, whether it was McVay, or whether it was whomever. That's how I'd spend my money to try to get the best return, which in the NFL is winning football games.
I totally agree with you. And you would think that in a perfect world, that's it. But these guys are going to do what they want to do because guess what? Their egos are huge because they're billionaires. And you don't get to be billionaires by just lucking into something unless you're a couple, you know, second generation guys. So they said, I built this on my decision-making and my ability to find that person that can get me to the Super Bowl, and this is what I believe in. You can't tell me who I need to hire and how I need to go about my business.
Well, real quick, do you think that there should be fundamental changes to the Rooney Rule? Do you think that there should be a body that looks at kind of a fact checker in terms of how they carry it out with teams?
I mean, that's so subjective. My biggest issue now, especially with now that they have rewards where you get a third round.
Right.
I struggle with rewarding people for doing the right thing. I think that sends the absolute worst message. You're doing the right thing, trying to get the best candidate to win you a Super Bowl and make your enterprise value go up immensely and pad your stat pockets more, but I'm going to reward you for doing the right thing. I really struggle with that, and I think that sends a horrible message to not only the NFL, but to the public in general.
Doug Whaley with us all hour. Great stuff, Doug. Great stuff. We dive into the Steelers now, in particular the quarterback situation, what Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday, and lots on the table here. Fan Morning Show.
Every Wednesday, Doug Whaley's in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Wednesdays with Whaley, we pick his brain about a number of different things. Let's talk quarterbacks for just a couple of minutes. And the Fan Morning Show is presented to you by Matt Martz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. I mean, I got a text from my daughter this morning. Is Kenny Pickett the new Steelers quarterback? Like, what do you? She says some ridiculous social media thing that was sent out there, a Photoshop of Kenny in a Steelers jersey. Everybody's talking about the next quarterback. We talked earlier about what's that mold of a successful quarterback in the NFL right now, size-wise and ability-wise and skill set-wise. Is that available to the Steelers in the first round at number 20 overall?
There's going to be people available, but is it the person that's the right person to take you where you want to go? I mean, because the way I always look at it, take this year's crop of quarterbacks that are draft eligible and put them in last year's, or even compare them to next year with Young and Stroud. Where would they fall? Of course, they're going to get pushed up because that's the best that is out there today. Mm-hmm. But are they really deserving of that first round pick? Now, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, which I hate, but because of the rookie salary cap now, if you say, all right, we like Pickett, normally in a regular draft, we would have probably taken him in the second or third round, but because he's the best of the bunch, we'll take him in the first round. But because the money is not that detrimental to your salary cap,
right?
Why not take him? There's no reason not to. And at worst, you're going to have a serviceable backup that can get you at 500 if the starter's not. And go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to ask you, how would you manage the quarterback position, though, between now and the draft? It's the final weekend of April. Free agency opens the second week of March. So you've got to, I would imagine Rudolph and Haskins they'll bring back. We know they'll bring Rudolph back. Haskins, I imagine they bring back as well. So you can give yourself the insurance policy of signing a veteran quarterback in case something doesn't appear that you like in the draft, but then all of a sudden you draft a Desmond Ridder or Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral in the first round, and you've got four quarterbacks now.
All right, here's what I would do. And I would say no veteran quarterback.
Okay.
Because besides injuries and the anomaly with Tom Brady, a veteran quarterback doesn't come on the market that's any good. They're on a market for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Haskins and Rudolph and see what you got. And guess what? If they stink, you're in the top 10 and you got to look at Young and Stroud. There's your quarterback answer right there. It's easy, in my opinion.
And well, then, who do you bring in as like a camp arm and all that
who
stuff?
Cares?
Right. And then, well, I'm with you on that. I am totally
it's
with
a camp arm.
Well, right.
Love the camp arm.
Well, you draft somebody in the third or fourth round.
I'm
whatever,
with you on drafting
matter.
An offensive lineman. And then if it works out, it works out in terms of the quarterback. And if it doesn't, then you're positioned to draft a real quarterback next year.
One that's going to get you to where you want to go.
But,
that's
but
the Super
you
Bowl.
You can find real value in an offensive lineman right now that you need.
And don't sleep on corners. Because think about this. Division. You have to compete. You got to win the division to get in the playoffs. You really want to. Who's locking down Ja'Marr Chase? Think about that. And then think about the depth. If Hayden's gone, Witherspoon, yeah, he showed some flashes. But can he lock down a Ja'Marr Chase? So I think another pressing need is not only is secondary besides offensive line.
Well, the other side of that conversation, too, is if you go with Rudolph or Haskins and they somehow muddle their way to 9 wins and you're drafting 18th, 19th, 20th again rather than the fall-on-the-face scenario we
then
just
you
painted.
Then you have to say, do you think this guy can improve from that the next year?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's that look test. The eye test is going to tell you a lot. But if it's kind of the same thing that we just saw this year, then you're going to say, guess what? We're going to have to do something. Instead of trading up to 10 for Bush, let's trade up to 10 to get a quarterback.
Some questions about some of the other stuff Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday we want to get into with Doug. He's in here for the entire 9 o'clock hour every Wednesday here on the Fan Morning Show. Another Wednesday with Whaley. We continue with Doug next.
Doug Whaley in for an hour this hour, and we love this hour. So answer me this real quick before we dive into deeper topics. You got advice for Jim? Players have come to you and gone, I'm going to retire. You've dealt with executives that are going, what would your advice to Jim be?
Ooh. That transition's tough because you're used to having stuff to do in a schedule,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's when you start waking up and saying, what am I going to do today? That's tough. I did that for a year after I got fired. It was a tough transition. All I can say is find a hobby. I actually got my private pilot license. That's what I did. I always wanted to fly, so I did that.
All I know is that Linda's been retired for a couple of months or a couple of weeks. And
he's out of whack.
And right. I know. No, but she's going through closets, and there's already I already see my future laid out in front of me. It's like half of the closet looks really nice.
Uh-huh.
The other closet is a mess.
Yeah.
And that's going to be taken care of probably Monday morning at about 6. Well, you know, that'll be like,
you think you have a whole lot more stuff to do on like the honey-do list?
Oh, the honey-do.
Than you really do. You're going to
No, I'll be
next
fine.
Wednesday
I'll find
at
do.
Like 2 o'clock, you're gonna look around. It's gonna be like that John Travolta meme where he's just looking around, like, "What do I do now?" That's gonna be you.
I'll be fine.
Okay,
I'll find something to do.
Well, the summer's easy because you can always go out.
There we go.
You can go.
Sure,
golf.
There we go.
The winter is a little miserable.
He's going to be mall walking with white New Balances on. Come by Tuesday morning, he's going to be at Ross Park Mall at 4:30
with the hand weights.
Yes.
Linda does have snowshoes for us.
Oh, goodness.
And she
went out yesterday,
and she's going out again today. And I actually do like being outside when it's not like bitter, bitter cold and windy.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind being outside in the snow.
All right, Nancy.
Hold on. Are you going to start working out and getting buff? And be like Ron
I'm
Cook.
Gonna be like Cook. I'm gonna have Doran's jersey on next year.
I wanna see this.
Answer me this. Mike Tomlin has twice now alluded to mobile quarterbacks, mm-hmm. right? He did it in the middle of the season, Chris, right? It was like the middle of the season. Now he did it in his out the door of this season in the exit interview. He did it. So do you think that there's a chance, and nothing has changed with the NFL since last year at this time? Mm-hmm. You think there's a chance he may not have wanted Ben to be the quarterback this past year? I mean, because nothing's changed with the game. The mobile quarterback importance has been the same since last January. Why is he telling us again now how important a mobile quarterback is, but he didn't choose to employ one or try to?
I think he thought, let's try to run it back with Ben. But when he saw the lack of Ben's mobility and how it just basically fell off a cliff, he's like, uh-oh, that wasn't a good roll of the dice. And he realized that that aspect of a quarterback game puts so much stress on the defense. He's like, quit trying to fight it. Unless you have that elite guy like a Herbert or pocket guy like that, but that can still get positive yards. When you think about it, mobile quarterback doesn't mean Lamar Jackson.
Right.
That just means a guy that, in a pinch, can tuck it and get positive yards and makes the defense stay honest.
So how does he get an honest evaluation of Matt Canada next year then if his options are just Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins?
Well, the honest evaluation is, okay, you have to start adjusting your system to the people you have to work with. Any coach can be a great coach with, all I need to have this perfect quarterback, this perfect offensive lineman, this perfect running back. Anybody could coach that.
Mm-hmm.
I could coach that. You could coach that. My mom could coach that. But when you don't have those pieces, you have to now be able to say, I have to put these people in positions to be successful with the skill set they have. So I have to be uncomfortable and start changing instead of making sure that I get everything that makes me comfortable.
Well, if he wants a mobile quarterback, he's going to have to – you said to not – that well, you said what you would do. You would not bring in a veteran. But he's going to have to, right? If in order to do that, because there's no guarantee there's a quarterback in the draft that fits that mold that would be there when the Steelers pick.
Well, again, the definition of mobile is, I think it's broad, but I don't think he needs, like I said, I don't think I said before, he's talking about a Lamar Jackson. And there's no veteran quarterback out there. You might have a Mariota. Yeah, throw that guy in there. But again, he's a backup and he's going to be on the street for a reason. Now, if you just want a mobile quarterback to say you have a mobile quarterback, that's great. Go ahead and get them.
Well, Pickett would be mobile enough.
Yes.
The other guys,
absolutely.
I don't know enough about.
No, those other – Pickett would be mobile enough. Absolutely. But, again, to me, it's going to be a combination of getting a quarterback that has mobility and the offensive coordinator saying, I'm not going to have this perfect drawn-up position at the person at this quarterback position. I need to be able to be flexible and draw up a scheme that accentuates the positive of what I'm working with. If you're so beholden to the system, then you're not a coach. You're a system guy. There's a difference.
I'm curious, too, what your thoughts are on what he had to say about the other side of the ball, however brief as it was, and more of a breakdown of what we saw from Mike Tomlin on his final press conference meeting with the media as Doug comes and sits in with us every Wednesday for the entire 9 o'clock hour, Wednesdays with Whaley. Hey, BetQL, they've got you covered. You know that. All football season, they've had you covered all the time. They help you make smarter bets, and now they're giving you a chance to win cash with their Giving Props contest, weekly free-to-play contest running throughout the postseason. Go to BetQL.com/props right now for all the details. It's your chance to win $2,000 every weekend of the postseason and enter into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. Again, BetQL.com/props. Doug Whaley in studio for just a few more minutes here. Another Wednesday with Whaley as the former Bills GM joins us, lets us pick his brain about where the Steelers are headed this offseason. Were you necessarily surprised that Mike Tomlin, he didn't confirm, but he didn't do much to throw cold water on the ideas of either Keith Butler or Kevin Colbert departing in the near future?
No, I think it would be disingenuous for him to try to throw some cold water on it, especially with all the reports going out there. And I'm sure at some point in time, Keith's going to talk. But Kevin doesn't talk until probably right before draft time. So,
well, and I bring up Kevin especially because if he's going to retire sometime shortly after the draft, mm-hmm. A lot of people have said, wouldn't you want your new GM to be in place before the draft?
Well, I'll say two things. One, no, because Kevin has dedicated his life to the Steelers mm-hmm. and trying to get them to the point to consistently compete for championships. So I don't worry about that. And then that may also, reading the tea leaves, promote the fact that they may just have inside candidates
right.
elevated.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Well, which is not
cut to the middle for me. Whether you get the right guy or the wrong guy, I'm interested in the process. If you've identified that your organization wants a quarterback, mm-hmm. okay? And the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it's this year or next year, they're going to want a quarterback in the draft. I think a lot of people think that. Tell me about game tape v. Senior workout. Tell me about game tape v. combine. Tell me about measurables, his hand or whatever. Like, everybody does it differently probably, but are there people that just say, hey, what did like the kid do against Ole Miss? What did he do against Kentucky? What did he do against SC? And put the game on and that rises to the top? Are there other people that throws at the combine? Explain that whole process for a quarterback.
For a quarterback, it is, and I'll use a Tomlinism, it's his resume. You can't just weight one over the other. If you had to weight one over anything, it would be his game tape, but more importantly, in pressure situations, fourth down, third quarter, one score games, that type of stuff, and against major competition. But then you add into the fact, especially when you talk about quarterback, I think besides game tape, the second most important thing, at least for me, would be that personal interview. To sit down with the quarterback, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the GM and watch his tape and say, all right, explain to me, what coverage did you see? Why did you throw this ball here and all of that?
You ever have somebody just totally bomb that?
That's what I was going to say.
Absolutely. You can tell right away, and they start making up stuff.
Then how were they? Does it blow your mind that they were just that good then at football in terms of – and couldn't read a defense but could just throw it through, you know?
It shows you the difference between college and NFL. And I'll tell you a perfect example. We did like the two days before the draft, we fly to Dallas to see Bryce Petty just to throw people off the scent. And we're sitting there talking to him, and I asked him, I said, what do you think is going to be the biggest jump from college to the NFL? He goes, guess I'm going to have to start learning how to read defenses. We check, please.
So it was nice to meet you, Bryce. Good luck.
But he never had to because it's all throw to open spaces. And,
at Baylor,
and,
like how it was?
At Baylor. And then even at WVU, they didn't have a playbook. They would just go and run at practice and run routes and say, okay, here's the defense, quarterback. When you see this guy break here, here's the opener. Yeah.
Conversely, have you had somebody who you really didn't think much of and then you sit down in the interview and you go, God, we got it. We got to drive this guy up 2-3 rounds on our board.
Yeah, and physically, the quarterback skill-wise, he wasn't that good, but mentally, he was E.J. Manuel. He knew everything, and then his presence and the way people talked about him at the school, where you're like, all right, the intangible stuff he has. Now, on-the-field stuff, he had the physical ability, he just didn't have that natural QB acumen.
Well, they said that Jimmy Clausen was like the poster child for that. He knew where it was supposed to be and everything. Yeah. He just couldn't get it there.
Yeah.
That's why he got like a bit of a shot. Like he
absolutely.
There's guys like that their mind knows where it's supposed to go and they just can't get it there.
Blaine Gabbert. Okay. He had a quarterback coach from when he was like maybe 10 years old. So I called him when I walked out of there and I said, he's a programmed quarterback. Because if he could regurgitate like a coach, you got to do this, you got to do this. But if something changed, if the coverage changed or the quarterback, he didn't know how to do it because he was just a robot. He was a program quarterback. So you get that a lot. But I think that to me, the game tape and then talking to the guy. And then the last part is that it factor. When he walks in the room, do you feel his presence? You know, people have that presence, that aura about him that some people can walk in the room and not say a word, but you're like, hey, man, who's that dude?
Yeah, I've been working with Jim for years.
Right.
Exactly.
How often do coaches, you know, they say all the right thing, coach speak, right, to people like us, but then when NFL person, when you go talk to a coach, did you ever get he would tell you something real about a guy that was not that he put out there in the media?
Absolutely, because it's a professional courtesy. If I'm coming to you and you're the head coach of X school and you start giving me BS, then I'm going to not ever come back to you, and everything you say to me from then on out goes out the window. And then it's the same as that college coach going to a high school coach saying, you got to give me the real, because that's how you build relationships and that's how things work in the league and in football ecosystem. So you got to give them the same professional
courtesy. Did you ever get surprised where you thought something of a player and then the coach gave you kind of the exact opposite?
All the time. Because you hear guys, oh, he's a great guy. But I'll tell you this much, not only coaches, but the support staff. When you start talking to the assistant trainer, assistant strength coach,
guy,
those are the ones that give you the real skinny.
The real truth.
Yes. Yeah. And assistant equipment guys, because equipment guys are in that locker room all the time. They know who are the good guys, the turds, the guys that are racist, the guys that are drunks, the guys
like that, right?
They're telling you, they know everything because they see them all the time.
Doug, great stuff as always. We love doing this every Wednesday from 9 to 10 o'clock. Doug Whaley is in studio with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.